Hey, this is Ryan Thomas. Thanks so much for listening to On the Road and supporting Faith Radio. You are just the very best, and we appreciate you so much. Enjoy the show.
Discovering stories of courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
Life is short. I want to live it well. One life, one story to tell. Life is short. I want to live it well. And you're the one I'm living for.
Well, it was your typical Sunday morning in 2006 when Barbara Marlowe first saw the picture that ultimately changed her life. A photo of a four-year-old Tiba Farrat, whose face, head, and hands had been severely burned during a bombing in her native Iraq. Tiba's eyes captivated Barbara. They seemed to cry out across oceans with a simple message, "Help me." Barbara's response to that cry is as inspiring as it is improbable, a faith and determination that brought Tiba to the U.S. for extraordinary medical care and ultimately a home. It's the incredible story we'll share today as we welcome Barbara Marlowe, author of A Brave Face, Two Cultures, Two Families, and the Iraqi Girl Who Bound Them Together. Welcome to the show, Barbara. What a treat to have you here today.
Oh, thank you, Ryan. I appreciate it.
Well, man, this all begins with you picking up the Cleveland Plain Dealer on a Sunday morning, as we said. But before you explain what you saw in the paper and that really drives this whole story, maybe just introduce us a bit to where you were in your life and your husband as well in your work and personal lives at that point there in 2006.
Well, I was in my early 50s. My husband is 11 years older than I am, and we were both hoping, you know, looking into the future to be retired, or at least semi-retired, and hopefully being able to, you know, go out and play golf on the weekends and go for walks with our dog and just sort of like winding down in our life. He has three kids from a previous marriage, and they're grown and gone, and so we were pretty much empty nesters other than our pets.
So with that background then, what confronted you when you picked up that Sunday morning paper?
You know, I will never forget when I looked at that newspaper as my husband was heading out the door to walk the dog, and I see on the front a picture of all of these children in Iraq that needed multiple surgeries and couldn't get them because if you recall in 2006, we were at war in Iraq, and featured were several kids, and one of them was Tiba. And the story was, and she was actually pictured sitting on her father's lap, and when she was 19 months old, she was born in 2002, so this was now in 2003, she was in a taxi with her dad and her three-year-old brother, and his name was Yusuf. And they ran over an IED bomb, and it exploded, and it severely burned her face and her head and her hands and killed her little innocent, sweet three-year-old brother. And Tiba was in the hospital for 40 days and received, I would have to say, sub-care for the treatment of her burns. And so now you fast forward, and she's 4 years old in this article, and I look at her, and I just was so captivated because she had these giant brown eyes and long eyelashes that were not at all harmed by the explosion extraordinarily, and I just felt compelled, and I immediately cut the article out and emailed the correspondent in Baghdad and said, you know, if I can find her the help that she needs, could you reach out to the family? And he immediately responded and said yes. And it was interesting, too, because in the article, it talked about her, you know, wanting a wig, and he was hoping for additional medical care. And that correspondent told him, don't count on it. It would take, you know, nothing short of a miracle because of what it would take to get her out of the country and then to get the kind of care that she would need.
Well, that's some pretty profound foreshadowing in terms of what happens in this story. You describe it, and you even use the word pull, there that you felt this pull. You've said that you never felt a pull to anything that strongly in your whole life. Is that fair?
That's absolutely fair. That's exactly right. You know, because so many times you just sort of read articles in the newspaper or watch something on TV, and, you know, at the moment, you know, you feel sad and you do feel compassion. But this was something that was different. And I just really felt like God spoke to my heart that day. And it was very, very strong. And it was like everything blacked out around me. It was the oddest thing, because the only thing I could really focus on was this little picture of Tiba and those beautiful dark eyes. And I was compelled. It was just something that was, there was something that was forcing me to do it. And I knew God was doing that. He was speaking to me and speaking to my heart.
Well, I found that fascinating, because you're absolutely right. I mean, so many of us, if we've seen any news at all, if we've read anything at all that's international in flavor, we've seen photos like this, you know, and we've felt that pang of, oh man, I wish there was something I could do, but it's so huge and I'm so small, there's nothing I can do. But you get past that, and it really does sound miraculous. You've used the phrase that God put blinders on you, so this was the only thing you could see.
Well, I'll tell you what, and there was so much that we needed to do to get her here. And when I talk about God putting on blinders, it was the only way I think it could have happened, because I really feel, Ryan, that if you look at the big picture of something, you won't take the first step, because there were so many obstacles. And so I really feel that you have to look at things in smaller increments.
Wow.
Or just a few steps. And I think that's why God did put blinders, at least on me, because if I had looked at the big picture, I would have been completely overwhelmed. Because you got to remember, trying to bring a five-year-old child here from the Middle East, a country you're at war with, and then trying to navigate through that political quagmire was so daunting. Yeah. And it was very, very difficult. And I recall, you know, about 6 months into it, by that time I had already secured a commitment from Rainbow Babies and Children's Hospital that they were willing to evaluate her. They couldn't commit to treating her, but they did commit to evaluating her if I could get her here. And I realized that, you know, I could get the pieces and parts in place here in Cleveland, but to get her out of that country at that time was so difficult. And I'd go, you know, three steps forward and two back. It was just this continuous cycle. And one day I was standing in my driveway, and I am screaming at God and being a complete brat and yelling at him and asking him, what good are you and why aren't you helping me? And just being really obstinate. And as I turned to come back into the house, at my feet was a golf ball marker, which was definitely not there before. And when I picked it up and I turned it over, it said, God loves you. And I can tell you, at that exact moment, I had the chills that just went up my arms. I just knew everything was going to be okay. I knew it. And it wasn't long after that that I ended up connecting with someone who was with who was a health reporter in the media here. And I met with her armed with my story. And she said, you know, I know exactly who could help. And so we sat down in her office and called this man. And he is with an organization called the PCRF, which stands for Palestine Children's Relief Fund. His wife was Palestinian, and he was an American journalist. And they had formed this organization to bring children all over the Middle East to hospitals all over the world. So there's no religious, no political affiliation, nothing. It's just this wonderful organization. And we called him up, and ironically, he answered the phone, which was a miracle unto itself, Ryan, because he's usually traveling all over. But on top of it all, I find out he's located about an hour from me. What are the chances of that? And he said, oh, yeah, we can help. You know, we can help facilitate this and help you with the visas and everything that you would need to get her here. Wow. And then she arrives. 1 year to the day that I read about her.
Wow.
Before we dig... 1 year to the day.
Incredible. Before we dig into what happens next, if you're tuning in and absolutely fascinated by this story, Barbara Marlowe is with us today on the road. She's the author of the new book, A Brave Face, Two Cultures, Two Families, and the Iraqi Girl Who Bound Them Together. So you take us through the keys of making this happen, the incredible connections that takes place. And one of the really special aspects of the book is that it is written with Teba and also with perspective from Teba's birth mom as well. Can you, before we talk about the medical care, can you share just a bit about Teba's attitude? Obviously, she's so young at this point, but her attitude toward coming to America as a young girl, it was a little bit complex, right?
It was very, very complex. It was complex because her mom's name is Dunya, had just had a baby at the time and wasn't able to make the trip. So her grandmother brought her, and she was only allowed to come with one female relative. And she got here, and of course, neither of them spoke any English, didn't know our culture. And when you think about it, at the time, America was the bad guys. So now she's coming to a country where she doesn't speak English, and we're supposed to be the bad guys, right, in this war. Mm-hmm. And she is facing endless doctor's appointments. And think about this, Ryan, from her mother's perspective. Can you imagine sending your five-year-old away to a country you're at war with, where you don't know the culture, you don't know the people, you don't know their moral background, you don't know who they are or what they are, and you just have to have this tremendous, tremendous faith in God. And her mother had that faith. And it was just one of those things where her family, so when they brought her here, of course, they were very afraid of certain things that they can't eat in our culture, and trying to navigate through not being able to understand English. It was very, very difficult. Teba, on the other hand, really embraced all of the attention she got, love and the care, and she learned English in 3 months.
Wow.
3 months, fluently, at 5 years old.
Amazing, amazing. Well, and,
yeah,
you know, to set it up, I mean, initially, your biggest dream of a hope for what could happen with Teba here in the U.S. is simply that she receives the care that she needed, right? I mean, that's the dream.
Exactly. Yeah. That was the goal, that she would get all of the care that she needed. And, you know, our first appointment with the doctor was really kind of eye-opening. My husband was there and a couple other friends. And Teba and her grandmother, of course, and the translator. And when the doctor was talking to us about different options, and one of the options was a process called tissue expansion, which he said was actually the best option. And Ryan, what that involves is they put a balloon-type device under the skin, and in Teba's particular case, the skin on her neck was undamaged. So they wanted to put this balloon-type device under the skin, and then we would fill it every week with a saline solution, and it would grow and grow, and it would look like big tumors. She had one on her back, and what they would do then is when it got to a certain size, they would take the expander out and then remove the burned skin and move the skin up from her neck onto her face. Wow. And attach it. And then once that healed, I know that sounds crazy, but once that healed, then they would expand the new skin on her cheek and move that up.
My word.
So the doctor at that point said, you know what, this is the best option. This is going to give you the best results. He said, but it's going to take years. And when this was translated to her grandmother, you could just see her face fall because she didn't want to be here that long.
Of course.
She wanted to get back to her family. She was worried, and she was concerned about them. And she didn't know what she was going to do. But my husband and I, we were committed. So her grandmother ultimately left, and we began this journey with Teba. And she ultimately had 19 surgeries so far to replace the skin on her face. She looks fabulous.
Oh, she does. Yeah, she's so beautiful. And it just, it's heartbreaking to think about what you guys and what she had to go through during this time. You write about how she really hated, you know, being in the hospital in many ways when it came to the care mm-hmm. itself, and, you know, writing about these hours at her bedside. I just wonder, you know, at that point, how did your faith keep you afloat? Because I can't imagine the emotional toll. You know, this situation is complex enough by itself, but here's this child that you love going through such a time. How did faith get you through that?
It was the only thing that got me through it. I know my husband had his Bible there, and he read that during the multiple hours we were there. But we just prayed a lot, and there were so many little things, Ryan, that happened along the way that confirmed to us what we were doing was the right thing. So we had to just pour everything into that gut feeling that you get, you know, sometimes when you know you're on the right path. And it involved a lot of prayer, and for me, it was a lot of those kinds of heart-to-heart conversations with God, like I did that day in the driveway. I mean, I would talk to him like he was sitting right next to me. Nothing formal, nothing, you know, like you might go to church and pray and say and be a little bit more formal. It was as if my best friend was right there and I was pouring out my heart.
Well, this incredible story is told in the new book, A Brave Face, Two Cultures, Two Families, The Iraqi Girl Who Bound Them Together. Barbara Marlowe joins us today on the road. And thank you once again for taking the time today. We so appreciate you doing that.
Oh, I love, you know, the story for me, as I look back on all these years, and it's been almost 12 years now, 13 when you consider the year it took to get her here. And I really marvel, you know, there was a point where we never thought we were going to get past, you know, the first year or two or three even. And when I look back and I see all of the things that Teva has accomplished in her life and the woman that she is today, the young woman, it's extraordinary. And God has absolutely touched her life and touched her family in Iraq, too. There's many, many stories in our book about that.
And it's amazing. I mean, that's an amazing component to this story is your relationship with Teba's birth family there in Iraq. You coined a term. Well, first of all, let me back it up
first.
Yeah. What was the decision process like about staying so connected? Was that a difficult decision to say that you wanted to stay as closely connected as you have to her birth family?
You know, it was not for me. And there were people that thought, why are you doing that? But I really felt it was the right thing to do. I knew it was the right thing to do. There was never a doubt in my mind. I mean, this woman trusted me. She's trusting me with her daughter. And she's trusting me to do the right thing and console her and be with this little girl who she loves so much. And she lost a son. I mean, how could I not stay connected with her? And we've always proceeded as if she was standing right here next to me in making these decisions. You know, we always had to have a translator, but, you know, over the years, I've learned a few Arabic words, and she's learned a little bit of English. Mm. And we've shared a lot of emotions, and I just could never, ever, ever walk away from her. And I never will. I've always said we're like one mom, and I call us, you were referencing before,
yes,
an Amiraki mom, half American and half Iraqi, but one. Can you imagine, though, being a little girl and having two sets of parents like that?
Well,
so
no.
It was, it's been great.
I could not get over this one phrase as well. Teba, she's talked about being grateful for what she's gone through, and
mm-hmm.
She says that she is because she has seen tragedy turn to miracles and made her who she is. And when I listen to that kind of wisdom from that young woman, I'm amazed by it. I mean, as her mom, I can only imagine that what you think as you hear that.
Oh, she does not have a victim mentality whatsoever. Teva has gone on to... she's an honorary youth ambassador now for the Iraqi Children's Foundation, which is based out of Washington, D.C. And what they do is they help children who have been displaced by ISIS or Al-Qaeda, other terrorist groups in Iraq, who don't have parents or maybe have one parent, and helps to raise money to help those kids with legal services, medical services. She volunteers in our community. She's an outstanding student and has talked about becoming a pediatric anesthesiologist so that she can help other kids who've gone through what she's been through when she was going through her surgeries and the fears that she had, you know, when they would come to give her the anesthesia and they come with that needle. Boy, she was very demanding at 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 and on up. Which needle was going to go in, and there had to be a countdown. So,
you can't help but smile at that, too, that she wants to go into medicine herself. What a special, special young woman. Well, Barbara, thank you so much for spending the time with us. I know you yourself.
Oh, it can't be over. I have so much more to say. Rats.
I know you yourself have been on the road while you've been sharing on the road today. True?
Right. Exactly right.
The book.
We are on the road. But thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. The book, one more time, is called A Brave Face, Two Cultures, Two Families, and the Iraqi Girl Who Bound Them Together. I imagine available wherever fine books are sold. But if we do want to learn more about you and about the story, where's the best place to start?
There is a website. The book is published by HarperCollins. And the website is abravefacebook.com. And actually, the best price to get it right now is right on Amazon.
I love it. You know, there are so many amazing things, and we just have just a couple moments left. But one of the most amazing things, really, I think about this entire story is the fact that you did what was countercultural at the very beginning of this, you know. So for those of us who see something in the world, you know, and our hearts are touched and we feel God nudging us to do something, but we have what we talked about. We have that sense that I'm so small, this issue is so big, what could I possibly do? As someone who has, with God's help, gone out and done something, what encouragement would you have for us in that situation?
You know, there's an old story, and I don't have all of the words to it right now, but there was a man walking on the beach, and he was there had been a high tide, and there was all these starfish on the beach, and he was throwing them back in the water. And a man came by and asked, "What are you doing? Why are you doing that?" And he picked up another starfish and he threw it in the water. And the man said, "Well, what difference is it going to make?" And he said, "Well, it made a difference to that one." So it made a difference to Tiva. And who knows what things she's going to do in her future that will affect so many other people.
Yeah. There it is. A Brave Face, Two Cultures, Two Families, and the Iraqi Girl Who Bound Them Together. Barbara Marlowe has been with us. What an absolute treat to meet you today, Barbara. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Hope we talk again.
Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com. We are free from sin forevermore. Oh, how sweet the sound. Oh, how grace abounds. We will praise the Lord, our rescuer. He is beauty for the blind man, riches for the poor. He is friendship for the world ignores. He is pasture for the weary.
Thank you so much for listening. Programming like this is available through your support, and you can learn more about partnering financially at myfaithradio.com. We'd also love to hang out with you during the week on Facebook and on Twitter. Just search for On the Road with Ryan Thomas. Talk to you again soon.